This is the Time and Again Home Service. During these dark, difficult days, take a moment to turn up your wireless and listen to this week's episode of Greyhounds, made in association with Yorkshire Air Museum. And remember, your courage, your cheerfulness, and your resolution will bring us victory.
Entertain conjecture of a time when creeping murmur and the pouring dark fills the wide vessel of the universe. Really throw the arms out. From camp to camp, through the foul womb of night, the hump of either army stilly sounds that the fixed sentinels... almost receive the secret whispers of each other's watch. Fire answers fire. No, remember what the book says. Inhabit the character. You are the flames. Fire answers fire. And through their pale flames, each battle sees the other's numbered face. Steed threatens steed. Stamp those hooves. Swish your tail. In high, boastful neighs, piercing the knight's dull ear. And from the tents, the armourers, accomplishing the knights with busy hammers, closing rivets up, give dreadful note of preparation.
Oh, mind out.
Goodness, you all right? You got rather in my line of battle, limbering up the sword arm and so on.
Sorry, your sister said you'd be here.
Unusual of her to deign to answer the door.
I need to speak with you on a delicate matter.
Of course. Is it about Nancy?
Nancy? No, why would I want to talk to you about Nancy?
I just thought... Never mind what I thought. What's the matter? You look quite out of sorts, my dear.
You could say that. I was in town yesterday just paying some money into the bank, and while I was there, I bumped into Captain Stewart. Mr. John Stewart, as he was before the war.
Oh, yes.
He's too old for active service these days, so they've pushed him into admin. He's currently chairing the ongoing tribunals for...
Afternoon. Just came from a script. They let us off a bit early, so I thought I'd go over a few lines.
It's all right, my dear. I was just running over a few things myself whilst I waited for this paint to dry.
I'll see you on Sunday, Ruby.
Everything all right?
Oh, he's just a little under the weather, I expect. Something like that.
What's this scenery? That's come together nicely. Have you done it all by yourself?
A few hours here and there. I'm just struggling to get this castle looking right. Do the turrets look wonky to you? I come sometimes when Catherine shut up with her books and her numbers and lose myself for a while. I swore once in a fit of passion that I'd never paint again, but I can't help myself. We say such silly things when we're young and angry.
Blame it or praise it, there's no denying the wild horse in us.
They say Miss Wolfe walked into the river on Friday with her pockets full of stones. I read about it in the papers. They haven't found her yet.
Do you think committing suicide in wartime makes your death count for more or less?
Oh, more, I should have thought. But if you could wait until after the play, I'd most appreciate it. I've been thinking about your words. If I am a selfish person...
I shouldn't have said any of that.
Oh, no, it's all right. Painting again brings it all up. The sound of the brush scratching away at the canvas and the feel of the paint flaking from my skin. There's no helping it. I did have certain hopes once.
Before the war?
Before my mother died. Stories are rather unfair, aren't they? Full of those that are born to become kings and fight battles. To die young and live on. Just like our Henry. My great destiny is to be one of domestic drudgery, though. Just seems fate hasn't been quite so kind as to inform my soul yet. Silly, really.
A dreamer is one who can only find his way by moonlight. And his punishment is that he sees the dawn before the rest of the world.
I suppose that's someone like... Oscar Wilde, is it?
You're rather good at this. I don't usually have such a receptive audience.
One does one's best, my dear. Though, just between the two of us. In total confidence, you understand. Oh, I find Shakespeare a terrible drag. I'd hardly read a play before this. Do you want a cup of tea? It's about time I put the kettle on.
No, thanks. I should probably head home. Being around Catherine makes you feel utterly alone. Even when you're in a room full of people.
You're a very peculiar man. Do you know that?
I've had worse.
Oh, I'm sure you have, my dear, you of all people. I only meant... Not many men could turn around and quote such beautiful words off the cuff like that and really mean them.
No. I guess not. But I'm just an actor. A bloody awful actor. That's what your sister said.
Never listen to what my sister says. There's usually such dreadful sense in it.
See you on Sunday.
Yes, I expect you will. These are wonderful.
It's only a few old curtains, but Miss Winters liked the colour.
Yes, they'll make splendid capes. Perhaps a few flags for Henry's army too. I'll get started on the M's.
My mother's old sewing machine is in a cupboard somewhere. I think it still works.
Oh, that'll make my job easier.
Thanks awfully for the tea, Mrs. Palmer.
You're welcome. I'll just have a look for that machine. Nancy, I put your script in your bedroom. You left it in the shop.
Did I? Sorry. I'll just get these folded up.
Let me help.
It's all right. You've got to watch your arm.
It's much better these days, really. I'll be able to take this horrid sling off soon.
Ruby will be pleased. She said it wasn't historically accurate. Will you go back to flying? When it's mended, I mean.
No, I attended a hearing last week. They feel my skills are better suited elsewhere. I'll be carrying on my current position.
Doing what? Sorry, probably can't say. I shouldn't ask. Can't help myself.
Oh, you know, filing, recruiting, nothing exciting.
But it is. We all have to do our bit. I wish I could do more. The Women's Land Army are calling for more volunteers. I could go and join Will in the fields.
Stay away from Willcroft.
What?
Sorry, I'd best be heading home. I'm glad the curtains will be useful.
Thanks for getting those apples. Auntie P was very pleased.
Good night, Nancy. Miss Wilde.
Good night.
Oh, is he gone?
Just now. Did you find the machine?
I've put it in the front room. You ought to be careful.
Careful of what?
He's a nice young man. And a pilot, too.
Not anymore. He's on desk work.
Very dashing and exciting, he must seem. But he's not part of our world, is he? None of his family has so much as set foot in our shop before today. They get a fancy hamper delivered from Biggleswade once a week.
Oh, he was just being kind.
No, he wasn't. I've got eyes in my head, and I've got ears too. I hear them muttering whilst they queue. They think you've got a fancy man.
What? Well, I haven't, have I? I'm a married woman.
Exactly. And I know you might want to forget it. God knows I don't blame you. And you shan't catch me telling you to go back. But Edward Holmes... Best keep him at arm's length, eh? You don't want to make things complicated.
No, I suppose not.
Though I must say, it's been very exciting to have such a nice class of customer in the shop all of a sudden. There was Joan Cavendish last week too. She wears Schiaparelli. Mrs. White said so.
You mean Schiaparelli?
Exactly. Oh, have you seen?
Have I seen?
Oh, no. Nothing. I was just sure I had more corned beef left than these. I must be losing my marbles. I'm afraid it'll have to be extra cabbage tonight to make up the difference.
Did you say I left my script in the shop?
Yeah, I've put it up in your room.
But that isn't my script. Well, I've got mine here in my bag.
Perhaps I could fry some onion. I think we have one left.
Who's been in the shop today?
Oh, the usual crowd. Mrs. Henderson and Mrs. White, first thing. The new lady from number 37, Bert from up at Matlock's with delivery of potatoes. Mrs. Holt. Vicar's wife called in briefly for... Hey, where are you going?
I won't be long. I've just got to make a call.
You're out late, Mr. Jones.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Croft. I'm just waiting for the last bus into town. I'm meeting my niece at the railway station.
Oh, I think you might have missed it. It's 15:15 already.
No, no. It's only just gone 2:15. It comes on the hour.
You're wearing your watch upside down, Mr. Jones. That's the 6, see, up there.
Am I? Oh, not again. I gained 2 hours last year when I forgot to wind the clock on the mantelpiece. I still haven't put them back. It's comforting to know you've got a bit of extra time on your hands, isn't it?
I suppose so. But I don't think the bus driver keeps track of such things.
Perhaps not. Oh dear. I'll never get to Biggleswade in time now. Edith will think I've forgotten her.
I'll tell you what, why don't you come back up to Matlock's with me and I'll give you a lift in the cart. Well, we might just make it that way.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Though I must check. Is it a chestnut-coloured horse?
No, he's a bay.
Oh, well, that's all right then. A lift would be just marvellous. Edith will be very excited to ride in a cart. She's my sister's daughter, you know, a blood relation. Her father runs a printing business in Leeds, newspapers, that sort of thing. But he wants Edith out of the city.
Very sensible.
She's a very nice young lady. Very polite. Not like my brother's children, God rest his soul. Very nasty indeed. Wild. The stories I hear, they'd make your hair stand on end, but then that does come from my mother's side. It's always been the same. Shall we?
Watch your step. It's a bit muddy on the track to the farm.
I shall follow your every move. Lead on.
Mrs. Holt, are you there?
Oh, thank heaven you're here. I just don't know what to do. Can you help him?
What? I just came to return his script.
Please, he's in here. His breathing's awfully shallow.
Who's breathing? Have you telephoned the doctor?
The doctor won't come.
I'm sure if you explain.
It's Percy. Please, I think he might be dying.
Well, try and calm down. Well, that won't help now, will it? Let's have a look.
Look at his eyes. They're half shut.
Oh, he looks a little thin. I could see his ribs.
I've been trying my best, but they're all terribly hungry. It's the rationing. You just can't get the beat. I give them my entire ration, but it's not enough. There's only so much you can do with vegetables.
You took the corned beef, didn't you? When you called into the shop earlier.
I don't know what's come over me. I never thought of doing anything like that. Not in my entire life, but I had a book for your aunt, and when I went into the kitchen, there it was, on the side.
Never mind now. Has he eaten any?
No, he won't touch it.
What about some soup? If I'm poorly, I always have a bowl of soup. It's easier on the tummy. Best keep him warm too. Here, let's get the fire going.
You're terribly kind. You must think me a very foolish woman. But Percy's been with me for years. He belonged to my Peter, you see. Mr. Holt, that is. Percy was his pride and joy. Used to ride with him on the tractor every day.
But what about the others? Do you think perhaps that maybe...
Oh, I know there's far too many. But I can't help it. They came to me at the start of the war, in September 39, just after the Declaration. A government pamphlet went out that caused the most terrible panic.
I remember that. Telling people to send their pets off to family members in the country. The woman 2 doors down from us released her canaries.
It was terrible. The leaflet advised, if you cannot place your pets in the care of neighbours, it really is kindest to have them destroyed. That was next to an advert for a bolt gun. Well, of course, mass hysteria ensued. It always does. It's the herd mentality. People began euthanising their cats and dogs in the thousands.
I had no idea.
Well, they kept it out of the papers, of course. Doesn't sound very comforting, does it? Well, I had to do my bit. They all arrived from friends and family. I couldn't say no. Not when the alternative was...
Let's get a pan boiling. We'll make up some broth. See if Percy fancies that.
Oh. Is it wrong of me to keep them when food is so scarce?
Do they bring you joy?
More than anything.
Then it can't possibly be wrong. Oh, come on, Percy. Let's see if we can get you back on your paws.
Back again?
There's lots going on after the raids last night.
A few of our boys limping back. Did you see the Hamden going over earlier?
Yes, at 10:10. Damaged engine on the left-hand side.
Trying to crawl back to Scampton. It'll have to divert. It's far too low.
Scampton?
Lincolnshire. We used to fly training flights from there back in the day. Camels mainly, or pups. But they've given it over to Bomber Command now.
Surely that's classified as careless talk.
See anyone listening?
I'm listening.
You're not a spy.
I could be.
Yeah, and a dangerous one too.
It's approximately 90 miles to Lincolnshire, so it would take around 31 hours to travel there on foot. Yet in the air, they can get there so quickly.
What are you, some kind of genius?
Oh, no. You're only a genius if you're a man. If you're like this and happen to be a young lady, then you're thoroughly unpleasant.
You're just like your father. Ruby might have got all the charm, all the patter, but a mechanical mind, that went to you.
You knew my father?
Of course I did. He taught me how to fly.
Ruby doesn't talk about him.
Yes, well, I'm sorry.
Are you? He's been dead 21 years. Sometimes it's as though he never existed at all. Are we supposed to get upset about people that never really existed?
Don't ask me. I'm always the last to know. No one tells me anything. You be on your way now. I've got my pipe to smoke and I want a bit of peace and quiet.
If you wanted peace and quiet, you shouldn't have walked up the hill straight towards me and started a conversation, should you? I got a letter this morning.
Isn't that usually what happens with the post?
Oh, yes, exactly. But not for me. They want me to go up to London. Should I?
Why are you asking me?
I think you'd make a rather dangerous spy too. I've never been to the city on my own before.
Then perhaps it's time you did. You can stop watching the world through little binoculars and start taking part in it. How does that sound?
This was Greyhounds, written by Laura Crowe, performed by Time and Again Theatre Company. You have been listening to Fiona Primrose, Laura Crowe, Catherine Cowdery, Tim Cooper, Jacqueline Weeble, Jacob Taylor, Paul Wilson, Kendall Boardman, Catherine Reynolds, Samantha Vaughan, Ben Hines, Adam Martin Brooks, and Anthony Morris. Yes, Sir, That's My Baby is written by Walter Donaldson and Gus Kahn. Music arranged and performed by the Easy Rollers. Thank you for listening. Please tune in next time, and remember, keep calm and carry on.